We've just finished a session with Kim Cunio from Griffith University's Conservatorium of Music, and Kim's been talking about the war against...
The critical edition.
The critical edition, and it ranged across traditional, I suppose you might even call it sort of mashups. We had Hildegard of Bingen, a New Age wunderkind and great woman of history, Dead Sea Scrolls. And we finished up with some fantastic compositional work on the shakuhachi from the 13th century traditional Japanese tradition, mixing in with GarageBand. It's been a terrific session, Kim. What brought you to this sort of corner of the musical world?
Well, I was interested in presenting at Create World for one main reason, which is that I've worked in traditional music for a long time, and there's been this implicit thing about, well, I just do all these jobs and I create music based on serious research into old music, but it's all with technology, and generally no one wants to know about the role of technology. So that was the first point, and Create World's the best point to talk about that, because you talk to most musicians and they just go to sleep. They don't want to know.
Right.
You know, it's just like, well, that's just your tool, but it's no longer the tool, because it's the tool that shapes the aesthetics as you hold it.
Yes.
And I think that's essentially what Apple's done to composers. It's changed how composers think to some extent. And this research project is literally looking at how GarageBand can affect very serious music written from the great traditions of the world by cutting it up and looping it. And some people will be horrified.
Mm.
How could you do that? How could you take this beautiful stuff that has been jealously guarded and kept alive for hundreds of years and then just stick it on GarageBand and tell people to muck around with it? And the answer was twofold. The first part is that doing that will not kill the tradition. I say this after years of music research.
Yeah.
I know for sure that the tradition will survive this and be bolstered.
Mm-hmm.
If I had any doubt, there's no way I'd do it. And the second reason for me is that this is part of the process of growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we have is this weird East-West thing where people from the West say, look, we can muck around with all our stuff all the time. You know, we're this sort of evolutionary idea. You know, we started from nothing, from cavemen, and look at us now with all our iPods. But you guys from Aboriginal culture, or you guys from Iraq, or you guys from India, you've got to keep doing it the way you did, because otherwise the world's going to fall apart. So it's really important. Look, you can have an iPhone, but your stuff can't change and ours can. Or some of our guys can come over and muck around with your stuff, but no, you can't do it yourself. And so this project is about looking at that whole democratisation that computers have done to music, and making sure people across all ranges, socioeconomic backgrounds, play with the tools of high art, not just the sort of rich white guys in cardigans who generally get to do it because they have the doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it for me.
Right.
Take it out, let anyone play with it, and find out whether the guy who has no training can do it better than the guy with the training, because that might well happen.
That would put the cat among the pigeons.
That's right.
It's actually another face of Orientalism, isn't it? Just what you've said then, you know,
commodify
that. Yeah. You keep producing beautiful stuff that we can take and use, part of a sort of colonial bartering system. One-sided.
I agree. Mm. And yet, I know that part of it comes from the noblest of intentions. There's this idea, and I think in the West we're really good at saying, we have the museum ethic. Look, we know the world is falling apart at a rate the world's languages are dying. We can't change that. Well, we probably should, but we know our sort of combined ethic is we can't really do that much about it. But look, we'll be able to sanction this off and lock this away, and then in 200 years ago, you can put it back to life. And, you know, some examples, there's Aboriginal languages that have died out that Westerners translated and transliterated, and Aboriginals are learning them again. So it's not all bad what the West offers. There's great things. The art of transcription of music I hold dear to my heart and in my debt. And for me, as a guy from a Baghdadi heritage, to learn the tools of Western notation was like the greatest moment of my life.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't learn it as a child. When I learned it as an adult, this vista opened up for me.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, well, and I know there's hundreds of thousands of people who also could do it.
Yeah.
So this is a bit of sharing for me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Kim. It's been terrific.
My pleasure.
Good luck.